to talk a little bit more about what I've been talking about and ministering about. And I used to always like what my grandmother, my grandmother was raised Church of Christ, and that's all. She went to the Church of Christ, but when I got to be a pastor and minister, she started coming to church with us when she could come, and she'd tell me, she said, "Randy, you gave a good talk. You gave a good talk." And so I know my grandmother's in heaven shouting today and looking forward to seeing her one day. And so, but anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 30, I've talked on choose right, making the right choices. And because we have to choose every single day. Every day we choose what we're going to do. We choose where we're going to eat. We choose what we're going to wear. We're going to choose. But, you know, choices go a whole lot deeper than that. I mean, these choices are just, you know, it's not going to, what we wear is not going to mean life or death. I can assure you of that. I don't guess, unless somebody just really don't like your outfit. But, but when he said in Deuteronomy 30, and I'm just going to read the first verse 19. I read more the other day, but I'm not tonight. And I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. It says, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make." Did you know heaven and earth witnesses the choices we make? Every day people can see what choices we make, and they witness those choices. He says, it goes on to say, "I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live." You know, to me, that's almost like a plea from God to us to choose life. Oh, that you would choose life. You know, it would be all right if he made us make the choice, or if we didn't have a choice. In other words, he said, "Here's good, and that's all you're going to get." Oh, hallelujah. Wouldn't that be wonderful? This is good. This is life, and that's all you're going to get. There's no other choices. We'd like that, wouldn't he? But no, there's good, and there's bad. Life's kind of like a buffet. I'm telling you, you get to choose. Anybody ever go to Sam's in a Fairfield? I'm telling you, if you like a good buffet, you just go to Sam's and you walk in there and you'll look down and walk down that aisle, and they have everything that's it may not be the healthiest for you, but oh, it's so good. It's so wonderful. And you'll just put this on there and put that on there. The best part of that whole thing, they have a pie and cake racks. That's the best thing at Sam's right there. And that coconut cream pie just screams out, you know what I go get first is that coconut cream pie, and I set it on my table just to make dang sure it's still there when I get through eating. I want to make sure I got that coconut cream at the end. And if it didn't satisfy me enough, I'll go get a piece of that chocolate. And I know that ain't really good for me, but it's good to me. I'm going to tell off on me and Linda right now. Last night she was sleeping in the chair, and I was watching the news, basically watching the news, and 10:30 she woke up and said, "I need some ice cream." And I said, "Linda, it's 10:30 at night." I said, "But there is some Bluebell ice cream in the freezer in the back." She said, "Well, I'm going to have some." I couldn't let her eat alone. I couldn't do it. Couldn't let her eat alone. And so she went out and got it. We both filled us up a bowl and put some chocolate on it. And at 10:30 last night, we was eating Bluebell ice cream. And we didn't have to answer to nobody. That was a choice we made. Linda, wish I hadn't told that, but I had to. Because we made a choice. I want to go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Glory to God. Sometimes we make choices just at night, late at night, and some of them are right and some of them are wrong. Now, I'm not going to say whether that's right or wrong, but it sure was nice. It was good. I'm going to agree with you right there. And in Mark chapter 10, we're talking about right choices or choosing right. That was the title of the message. It goes on, it says this, now there was, verse 17, chapter 10, I preached this not too long ago from a different standpoint. Now, as he was going out on the road, one, talking about Jesus, one came running, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that's God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He answered and said to Jesus, he said, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "Aren't we glad God loved him?" You know, Jesus never looks at you in any other way than love. Never. Never. I said never. He never looks at me, no matter what I've done, no matter what I've said, he never looks at me in any other way other than love. Because he can't look any other way. Am I right? And so Jesus looked at him and loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." Now listen to what he's telling him. "And you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." You know, Jesus is giving this man a choice. He's given him a choice. Now, he wanted to know what he had to do to have eternal life, right? He wanted eternal life and how what to do. He said, "One thing you lack, go sell what you have." Now, understand something. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. Am I right? But Jesus told him, "Go sell what you have, give it to the poor." And then he said, "I want you to take up the cross and follow me." He said that same thing to Peter, James, and John, and his apostles. You know when I first read that and God showed me that, I started hearing other ministers talk about that very same thing. He was inviting him to be one of the 12. So that tells me right now, if people turn something down, he'll pick somebody else. Now, am I right? If we say no, somebody else will say yes. Am I right? And so he said, "Take up your cross and follow me," and gave him an invitation to be an apostle. But notice what happened. And he was sad at Jesus' word. I'm telling you, don't ever get sad at Jesus' word. You know, I think some people read the Bible, and sometimes they read certain things in the Bible, and it makes them sad. You know, there's people that read the Word of God and gets discouraged because they don't take it out of the Spirit on what God's saying, and they don't let God reveal to him what he's trying to say. See, when you don't understand something sometimes, that's what makes you draw back. I don't understand everything and how everything's working out, but I'm smart enough to say, "God, show me what you want me to know. Reveal what you want to show me in this." And, you know, in the Word as I'm reading it, and the Bible says he was sad at Jesus' word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He was a rich man. Can we all agree to that? He was rich, probably very rich. Now listen, I got to thinking about that today, and I got to thinking, as soon as Jesus told him that, he got sad at what Jesus said. Isn't that what it said? He got sad at his word. Because here's what made him sad. Because what he was telling him to do is put something down to take him up. And I'm telling you, there's some things we have to put down in order to follow and walk with him. Thank you for your enthusiasm. But here's what I saw today. I saw, you know, here he is when Jesus said, I don't know how, Elijah, how long, I don't know if as soon as Jesus said it, he looked at him. And probably with disbelief, probably, that ain't what he thought Jesus was going to tell him to have eternal life. Because we all know you can't buy your way into heaven, am I right? You can't buy your way into heaven. I mean, we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it all. And Jesus was not telling him he could buy his way into heaven. So what did Jesus try and tell him at all? But all of a sudden, he turns around and walks away. Listen, I got to thinking, he should have at least stayed a little bit longer. So you can't walk out on the word. Sometimes people, through the years of my preaching, of me preaching, I've seen people at certain points in the service when I'm preaching get up and walk out. And I could tell when they walked out, they was walking out because they didn't like what I said. But they didn't listen to the rest of the message. Just like Brother Hagin was talking, he said a lot of people will take just bits and pieces of what I say, but they won't listen to the full sermon, so they don't really understand what I said because they walk out before or quit before they get the full meaning of what I was trying to say. And then Jesus looked around and said, the guy walks off. Can you imagine everybody looking at him thinking, "What, my God, you're walking away. What are you walking away for?" And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again, and here's what Jesus said again, and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." You know, he wasn't saying him having money was bad. He was saying money having him was bad. Amen? Why? Because the Bible says Jesus himself said no man can serve two gods. He's either going to love the one or hate the other, despise it. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's money. He said, listen, the guy's relationship with money was wrong. But Jesus gave him a choice to increase beyond his wildest dreams. Isn't that what he said in Ephesians 3:20? He said, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think according to the power of God that's working on the inside of you. God, Jesus has given him an opportunity to increase and be multiplied back. He should have just stuck around a little bit. Notice Jesus didn't say, go right now and sell it all. He didn't tell him that. He walked away because what he was concerned about is getting rid of all his material stuff. And listen, you know, we all know this. God don't care how much money we got. God don't care how much stuff you have. He don't care how big your house is or how fine a car you drive. He don't care. But when it becomes your God and it becomes what you serve, then that when it becomes the problem. Because listen, we can say we love all kinds of things. I love this, I love that. We ought to just be saying, I like this or I like that. I mean, no thing can love you back. But God can. So he had a choice to make. And he made that choice. Did he? You said, think we'll see him in heaven? You know, I hope somewhere down the road, I pray somewhere down the road in that man's life, that he got his heart right with God and realized what Jesus was trying to say. But if he didn't, all the money he had didn't buy his ticket out of hell. Huh? See, he made a choice that day. Just like we make choices every day. Every day. And sometimes they produce life, and sometimes they produce disaster or death. Because he said, I've set before you life and death. Choose which one you want. I sure hope you choose life. I wrote this down. When you trust in what you have instead of whose you are, that's when you get in trouble. Amen. So that was what stopped him from pursuing the things of God, is because he thought, I'm going to have to be broke to serve God, I guess. I don't know if that's what he thought or not, but you know, some people think that today. Do you know it? Some people think, you know, if you're going to serve God, you can't have nothing. And that's not true. I said, that's not true. Humility is not based on what you have or what you don't have. Humility is the state of your heart. That's why he said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He said, humble yourself. People say, well, you know, God's not trying to humble you. No, God's not trying to humble you. God says, humble yourself. Huh? I remember years ago somebody tried to get me to take a vow of poverty. Isn't this crazy? And I don't know a whole lot, didn't know a whole lot, but tried to get me to take a vow of poverty. It was a CPA. And to make a vow of poverty. I said, for some tax deal or something like that. I don't know what it was. I said, not me. And I was broke then. My God, I didn't want to get broker. Huh? Take a vow of poverty? Because I'm a preacher? That's crazy. That would have been a bad choice, I just want you to know. And I was smart enough not to take that choice. Amen. I guarantee it wouldn't have took me long to repent of it if I had have made that terrible choice. But see, sometimes we make choices based upon what either is going to make our life better and living in the natural. When we have to make the choices, it's going to affect us down the road. Our spiritual being, our families, our finances, we have to make those choices. I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 10. Hold on. I'm going to go back there. Where was it? Mark 10? Let's go back there. Y'all didn't leave it yet, y'all. Verse 26, and they were great. And when he said how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, and such as that. Notice what it said. They were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" Let me tell you something. If you're broke, you're not going to be astonished. You're probably thinking, "Hallelujah, I'm getting in." I'm telling you, we think sometimes that when we look at the disciples, a lot of people, just all the poor people followed Jesus. Man, these guys were astonished when he said how hard it was for a rich man to get into heaven. Oh my God. Either they were rich or they was at least headed that way. Amen. And so, they were astonished. Notice what Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." You remember when Peter left him? After that boat sinking haul of fish they got? The Bible says they left and went and followed Jesus. Man, they had abundance. There's no telling how much money they made off that load. But I'm telling you something, they weren't following a poor Messiah. Jesus wasn't poor. Jesus had his own house. See, what makes you... He's a carpenter. How would you like to have a set of cabinets Jesus made? I'd almost think you'd just open a cabinet and be full. But Jesus wasn't poor. Some people think he was poor. How many poor people need a treasure? And how many ministries when the treasure is stealing out of the box and you still got enough money to provide for 12 families? And there's a thief keeping the money. You say, well, how do you put all that together? You think Jesus had Peter? These guys were married and had families. You think he said, well, you're going to have to follow me. Your family's going to starve to death. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose everything you got. But come on and follow me, boys. It's going to be a good time. He provided for them. Glory to God. Say, well, they were given to his ministry. He was given to their ministry. And Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one," everybody shout, no one, "who has left house, our brothers, our sisters, our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our lands, for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, the last will be first." I wonder if that rich man would have stayed and heard that. And heard that. Listen, God don't intend for you to give up nothing that he don't want to bless you back. Am I right? Always know this. If God's word says, don't ever get sad at God's word and say, well, God just don't want me to be happy. God, listen, how can we say God don't want us happy when he said, I came to make your joy overflowing? He wants you to be the happiest people on the planet Earth. But listen to me, he knows this. Things aren't the source of your happiness and things aren't the source of your joy. He's the source of your joy. He's the source of your happiness. And listen, if you would just put your trust in him and your confidence in him and make the right choices concerning your relationship with him, I'm telling you, your life is going to be good. I said, it's going to be good. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you made that choice to follow him? Now, real quick, go back to Luke. Oh, my gosh, I got to quit. These kids got to go to school. But let's read this real quick. Y'all have read this before I read it, but let me finish up with this. Now it happened, verse 38, as they went, that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, and who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Therefore tell her to help me. Could you imagine Jesus in her house, in Martha's house, and he's teaching the Word of God? I don't know how their houses were set up. I don't know if they had different rooms or if it was one big open room. But all I know is she walked over to Jesus and said, Jesus, don't you care that I'm in there trying to fix you some supper, trying to cook for all you guys, and Mary is sitting here at your feet. She's right here at your feet. Now tell her to get up and come in this kitchen and help me. Huh? And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. And one thing is needed. One thing is needed. Now listen to what he just said. And Mary has chosen. And Mary has chosen that good part. See, what he's telling Martha, Martha, you can be choosing this same thing. In other words, he's saying, Mary has chosen the word. She's chosen to listen to what I have to say. She has chosen to sit at my feet. Now listen, Jesus wasn't saying, now you get your tail back in there and you get to cooking. Mary's going to get this and you go on in there and get our steaks or chicken or whatever we're going to eat. You get it fixed up and you come on back out here in a little bit. No, what he was doing was inviting her to take that place with her. Won't you take your place with her? Because this is what he said. She's chosen that good part which will not be taken from her. She's chosen that good part which will not be taken from her. She chose something that the devil couldn't take. She chose something that wasn't temporary. She chose something that was eternal. So Jesus is letting Martha know, Martha, that meal is not that important. But what Mary's getting right now is very important to her well-being. Because all the worries in the world, everything the devil throws at Mary, cannot take what she's getting from me right now. And she's chosen that part. See, every opportunity we get to hear the Word of God, we need to understand it's very important. It's very important. And we have to make that choice. And I'm telling you, we're living in some of the most fast-paced time they're ever so busy and so tired. Listen, you know, people work hard all day long. They get tired and they said, here, I used to work full-time job, pastor the church and do everything like that. And man, I tell you what, finding time to study and stuff like that was a struggle. I was working 10 to 12 hours a day. And I'm telling you, but I made time. I made a study in a washroom. Linda remembers that little bitty room, had a desk set up in there and I'd go in there, every night I'd get home, and I'd go in there and study, and I would read and such as that. And sometimes I'd just fall asleep in there. I mean, I'd just be so tired. But, you know, I took every opportunity to put something in me. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. Through the years, you know, I used to be gung-ho studying and stuff like this. And then you get busy, and you start saying, well, you know, I'll do it tomorrow. I've been listening to the Word, preaching it. But there's something about looking at it. There's something about seeing it. And because he said you need to put it in your eyes. And so anyway, you know, Martha chose that part. So we have to choose the good part. Choose the good things that God offers us. Amen. And so make the right. Let's make the right. We're going to make the. I tell you what, I'm not just asking you. I'm saying we're going to. Man, the choices we make in 2019 are going to bring prosperity in our lives, going to bring health in our lives, going to bring our families back to God. That our choices we make this year is going to change everything about us. Everything about us, our church, our families. Amen. Praise God. All we're going to do is say, God, there's some things we don't have to ask God, which one should we take? We just automatically know. Other times we may have to say, God, show me which path to take, what to pick, what to choose. And God will show you. Amen. Pray. I'm done. I'm going to quit right there. Praise God.